What we would like to do to begin is to show a audio slide presentation of the Rural Bible Crusade Ministry. I'm going to turn it on. It's going to run its course, and when it's finished, then we'll go up and we'll consider some themes of evangelism from the Word of God. But first of all, we want to do this, that you can see the type of ministry that we're in. You've heard about it. This will explain it a little bit more in detail. So we'll play that now. I hope.
Lord Jesus, I thank you for loving me so much. I thank you for dying for my sins.
I want you to know that I have accepted Jesus as my Savior. Jesus Christ is the perfect and complete sacrifice for our sins.
Messages from Precious Children. Messages expressing heartfelt gratitude for what God has done for them through the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. Knowing that these boys and girls have heard, understood, and accepted the gift of salvation through Christ at Calvary just thrills our hearts. What joy! To know that many of these young people will go on in their walk with the Lord and ultimately impact not only their own families, but their community and the world with the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Reaching the rural children of Wisconsin with the gospel. That was the burden God placed upon the heart of J. Lloyd Hunter, the year 1939. Scripture like Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. In verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Convince this faithful man of God that the best way to reach children with the gospel was through a Bible memorization program, a program he called Rural Bible Crusade.
In the decades to follow, God, through the power of his word, would touch and change thousands of children's lives. Some of those children were our very own.
That's right. Ellen and I have been associated with the Rural Bible Crusade, or RBC, for almost 40 years. Our involvement for most of those years was on a volunteer basis, serving as counselors at the RBC Summer Camp Ministry. As a full-time Christian worker, I was very aware of the importance of hiding God's Word in one's heart. Seeing the miracle of children being saved and committing their lives to Christ through RBC's ministry only strengthened our own commitment to the program. Finally, in 1995, we became part of Rural Bible Crusade as full-time directors.
So, what are the goals of this mission? As mentioned before, our first priority is to reach children with the gospel so that they can understand and respond in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior.
Goal two, to promote spiritual growth in those children who make professions of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
And thirdly, to reach other members of the family with the gospel through the child's participation in this program.
How do we go about meeting these goals? Remember, RBC's emphasis is upon Bible memorization. Initially, we try to place as many RBC leaflets as possible into the hands of children and their parents. This leaflet is a simple introduction to the program, whereby each boy or girl is given the opportunity to win awards by memorizing selected Bible verses. Parents, or some other capable person, is asked to send us a card or letter indicating that the verse or verses were successfully recited from memory.
With this confirmation, we send out awards. These prizes provide not only incentive to learn more, but allow us to keep in contact with the child as they progress. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. A scripture ruler is given as each child learns this most important golden text from the Bible.
the Ten Commandments, a pencil, and pencil sharpener, like these are sent. Next, 40. That's right. 40 selected verses are memorized. Our prayer is that through these key verses, each contestant might gain a clear understanding of God as Creator, man as sinful and in need of salvation, Jesus Christ as God's way to that salvation, how they can be saved, and what that salvation means to their eternal future.
We rejoice each time a letter arrives telling us that yet another boy or girl has come under the sound of the gospel. What do they earn for learning 40 verses? A New Testament. For some, this may be the first Bible they've ever owned. But the program isn't complete. Now we ask each boy or girl to learn verses in the Gospel of John. With each 25 verses memorized, a Christian book appropriate to that learner's age is sent.
For many, the most exciting and fun award is summer camp. As mentioned earlier, our family's involvement with Rural Bible Crusade began almost 40 years ago when we volunteered as counselors at one of these camps. Well, those young people who have learned 150 verses are invited to spend the first full week of August at a beautiful spot in northeastern Wisconsin. No, RBC is not a camp ministry, but we feel this is a perfect opportunity to meet these young people face to face and, by the grace of God, further impact their lives for Jesus Christ. We offer these kids all kinds of Christ-centered activities.
We're not a recreational camp. I guess you could call that week a mini Bible conference for children. Bible classes are taught each morning, followed by a mission hour, talent hour, and finally, our evening service. The climax of the memorization program comes at the summer camp as we conduct a Bible verse quote down.
I wish you could just hear those kids as they quote verse after verse with no Bible or written notes. Each verse must be quoted word perfect using the version of the Bible from which the child has been learning. First, second, and third place trophies are awarded. Our own daughter, Janet, tried to win the first place trophy. She did a great job, memorizing 800 verses without a mistake. First prize? No. Tom memorized 1,700 verses. You heard it right. 1,700 verses. What a thrill for him and for us. It's always a blessing to see these young minds overflowing with God's truth. What a difference the Word makes in the lives of boys and girls trying to survive in a society which is so destructive to children.
A beautiful leather Bible is sent to some children who can't attend camp, even though they've fulfilled the requirements. Many, living in agricultural communities, have unavoidable responsibilities on the family farm. That's especially true during the summer months.
That same leather Bible is presented to those who memorize 300 verses. As interest continues, we offer young people the opportunity to study through the Mailbox Club. Age-graded Bible lessons are sent one at a time. The young person studies the lesson at his or her own pace, answers the questions, and returns them to us.
We correct the lesson, return it along with the next lesson. Upon completion of these studies, the boy or girl has earned a free week at summer camp.
It's through these lessons that we really get to know the kids, share some of their deepest feelings, and provide spiritual support as they deal with problems. One girl wrote,
"I believe that this course has brought me closer to God because by getting into His Word, I learn things about Him. When difficult things happen, I can know that they have a good purpose behind them."
Most importantly, these lessons give us the opportunity to find out where they really stand with the Lord. Another wrote,
"I took Jesus as my Savior when I started to do these lessons. I always feel guilty when I do something I know I shouldn't do because I know Jesus doesn't want me to do it."
We make every attempt to stay in contact, even as these children grow into adults with families of their own. One way we do this is by sending them the daily bread.
I have good memories of many years at RBC, and we praise the Lord for the great spiritual impact it had on our lives through the teaching, Bible reading, and memory. We continue to enjoy receiving the daily bread from you.
We are, even now, expanding our program to young adults by giving them the opportunity to earn certificates through Bible schools and college correspondence courses.
Other ways Rural Bible Crusade reaches out? Daily vacation Bible schools held in the churches, town halls, and even tents in many rural communities. These week-long schools for kindergarten through junior high are wonderful opportunities to teach children about the Lord Jesus Christ. RBC sends out volunteers who travel from town to town, conducting week-long schools. We find these sessions to be a great outreach. Many children who attend want to continue learning about God and become involved in the memorization program.
And then there's the teen weekend retreats, two a year, fall and winter. The kids have told us that this is the one event no one wants to miss. There's also the county fair outreach. Here again, we depend upon volunteer helpers to man booths and displays. Special emphasis is placed on reaching out to the many children passing by the booth.
We always try to have hands-on projects which point each child to the gospel. Projects like making bracelets and keychains with beads the color of the wordless book. At least 680 bracelets were made, with as many hearing the gospel.
Yes, giving children the opportunity to hear the gospel, to hide the Word of God in their hearts, promoting spiritual growth in those children who do make professions of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and standing with them as they reach out to their families, communities, and to the world. Those are the goals of Rural Bible Crusade. Could they be your goals too? There is indescribable joy in leading a child to personal faith in Christ. A joy God would have all believers experience. Indeed, all heaven must rejoice on the day when just one child boldly declares,
God is a friend of all sinners. Makes you feel like singing. Yes, it does. Thanks for the prayers.
Okay. Let me say, first of all, to you that know the Hansons, Joel and Annette, they send their greetings. I don't know how many of you remember them as they fellowshiped here. We've been meeting with the group that's in the Eau Claire area, so they send their greetings to you. Well, you've seen the work that we're involved in, and we're emphasizing attempting to reach boys and girls and young people with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's called evangelism. And this morning we're just going to spend a little time outlining some themes in regards to evangelism, maybe to encourage your hearts. Lord Wellington, or General Wellington, assembled together the English troops to battle against Napoleon and the French troops. That, of course, happened in a day that was quite different than our day. We have mass communication so fast we know about things right after they happen, but that wasn't the case. The battle took place. Both in Paris and in London, the populace, the people were concerned as to what was the outcome. And a ship came across the channel toward England, and it was becoming very foggy. And as the message was being flashed to the coast of England, the message, as it came across, read, was able to interpret, Wellington defeated. The fog was so heavy, nothing else could be seen. Those who received the message brought the message to London. In London, there was gloom and despair. Later, as the fog lifted, the rest of the message was seen. Wellington defeated Napoleon. And those who were in gloom and despair were rejoicing. as the Lord Jesus hangs on the cross, forsaken, alone, it appears that gloom and despair was setting into the hearts of his followers. Gloom and despair. Here is the hope of Israel. Here is the Messiah, and he's dying. Death takes place, and the Lord Jesus is placed in a tomb. And it might easily read over that tomb, Christ defeated. Christ defeated. But then the morning came, that Sunday morning. The stone rolled away. The Lord Jesus Christ arose. He's not there. Those come, they come and they look. Evidence is there. He is gone. The clothing in which he was wrapped, the cloths, it seems like he just dematerialized and came right out of them. Now as they run out, that heading over that tomb, Christ defeated, now is all the enemies of God. He has defeated sin and death and Satan and all of our problems. Yes, he has done that. Now the living Lord Jesus Christ, he who came out of the tomb, as he is about to ascend back into the glories, to be at the right hand of his Father, in each of the Gospels, there is that which proclaims a commission to the believer. And I just want to read one from Matthew, and then we'll just paraphrase some of them. As he's about to depart, he says unto them, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. The other Gospels state the same, on the same occasion, the Lord Jesus saying, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And so the risen Lord, as he is about to ascend to his Father, says to his own, to the believer, to the church, my responsibility to you is preach the gospel. Reach people with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Tell them of this great news that I have died, that death actually took place, that I'm alive, I came forth from the dead, and I go to the Father. And that which I did at Calvary, that comes forth now with the credibility of God. My resurrection proves that. God's stamp of approval is on that. And he that believes that I died for him, that individual, I will give eternal life. And he says, I want you to do this. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you that we have to do with a living Savior. We're so thankful that the Lord Jesus, as he came forth from the grave, as thou did raise thy Son, as the Godhead was involved in this great event, there was a great stamp of approval upon what took place at Calvary. And we thank you that there on the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ bore our sins. All of the wrath that we deserved has been poured upon him. And that as our substitute, he died in our place that we might have life, that we might become your children and accepted in your sight. How thankful we are. And we do pray that as those who know you have come to know Christ as Savior, that you might continue to encourage our heart to share with others this great message of the gospel, this great truth, this good news that individuals who believe in him can receive your gift of life. Come into your family. We pray your blessing. We thank you for each one that is here. We pray that you might move and work in our hearts. And for many of us, Lord, these are things we have heard all of our lives. But help us to rejoice in the greatness of what our God has done for us, sinners, saving us by your grace. We pray your blessing as we pray in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Ellen, will you turn on the machine? Now, some of this, on this side, you may not see all the way down here. But the Great Commission, we've read that. We're somewhat familiar with that. And this was not limited to those that heard, but this is to his church, to all believers. He says to those who are carrying the message, I will never leave you. You carry that message, and I will be with you. And are we doing it? Are we doing it? I trust we are. Are we interested in carrying on this work of evangelism for the Lord? What is evangelism? Evangelism is to present to people the Lord Jesus Christ, explaining to them what he has done, explaining to them all that God has for them, and then that they might understand that they must make a decision, that the decisions rest upon the hearer. Now, how is this evangelism going to take place? God's method is man. Now you say, wait a minute. God's going to use his word. Absolutely. The Spirit of God is going to be at work. Absolutely. But God has ordained that the believers in our dispensation, in the church, he has placed upon us the responsibility of presenting the Word of God to the unsaved, depending upon the Spirit of God to work and prepare hearts that they might then trust in the Lord Jesus as Savior. What if we are not involved in evangelism? I think there are basically two reasons. One is no desire. Now, I've not met a believer that did not want to or become involved in some way of reaching the lost with the gospel. The second reason is because we don't know how. Maybe we're scared, not quite sure, wondering what people might say. Ellen, you want to put on that second one? Being a little bit concerned as to what people might say. Sometimes we're scared because we're afraid of people's faces. Our pride won't let us do it. We just don't want to have any type of being kind of rebuked. And we sometimes just need that little bit of encouragement. But I want to talk now about evangelism, what it does. It's up there for you. You can see it. We don't have to spend much time on it. But let me assure you, as we're out attempting to win souls for the Lord Jesus Christ, our prayer life is revolutionized. We lay hold on God, and we ask God to do the miraculous. Work in hearts. Lord, bring to their knowledge what we're saying. Oh, Spirit of God, work upon them that they might be saved. And as we're doing this, our minds are constantly on the fact of the eternal values. It's not this life that counts. It's the life to come. It's not building mansions here, but the mansions that will be ours when we're with the Lord. We have but a short period of time to reach individuals. And I trust that we're doing that. We're reaching them. Well, obviously, if we're involved in evangelism, Bible study becomes alive. It's the living Word of God. And we're thrilled at every statement God has to make. And we want to know what God has to say so that as individuals ask us questions, we can give them answers. Now, what I'm suggesting here is a reality. When we're involved in evangelism, our prayer life increases. When we're involved in evangelism, the Bible study is alive. We're spending time reading the Word of God. Then, of course, our faith is also revolutionized. To experience the salvation of one soul that is trusting in the Lord is worth more than 100 lectures on faith. You believe that? Well, that's true. What a thrilling experience for some of our Bible school teachers who have never led anyone to the Lord. And they are confronting now boys and girls. And some child says, I want to be saved. And for that teacher to sit with that child and explain to them the way of salvation and their responsibility to believe in Christ, and then the joy that comes into the face of that child or that adult, whoever it is, that joy is then shared by the individual who is sharing the gospel, and the thrill is just unexplainable. We can't explain that. It's just a thrilling thing. And so our faith is revolutionized. We're just wanting to do the will of God. And then, of course, our attitude towards others is changed. Every believer looks good in the battle. You think about that for just a moment. You think about that. Do you think it's possible that if we're in groups, communities, where no work of evangelism is taking place, that we sometimes get a little bit irritated with one another? Have you ever experienced that? Well, if you're involved in evangelism, that's not going to take place. We're going to appreciate every believer. And the church of God, the fellowship of the saints, becomes the sweetest and the best thing this side of heaven. Ellen, will you put on the next slide? We're going to talk about the gospel for just a moment. Spend a few of these overheads on it. But I have a question I want to ask you. How many of you, usually when somebody's in the pulpit and they ask, they say, everybody close your eyes. I want your eyes to be open. How many of you trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ before you were 18 years old? May I see your hands? Wow. Okay, how many of you trusted in the Lord after you were 18? Okay. After you were 30? Wow, now it's getting less number. After you were 40? Okay, thank you. Now, you in the front didn't get a chance to see this. I wish you could have. The majority of hands went up when I asked how many of you were saved before you were 20. Now, that ought to indicate something to us. You think so? It ought to indicate something to us. It indicates, first of all, that in regards to the human experience, a sinful nature, a heart that is enmity against God, that as we grow older, that enmity becomes greater and the darkness becomes darker and self-will becomes greater and there's less chance to trust in the Lord Jesus as Savior. Therefore, if you're a fisherman, you go fishing where the fish are. Now, obviously, what we've asked today can be asked in any group of believers this morning, and the result will probably be identical. Where's the mission field? It's around the world. It's around the world. But if we're going to see results, we're going to deal with children and young people. Are we going to forget others? No, we're not going to forget others. But let me make a suggestion to you. If we are dealing with adults, and I've done that much of my life, we are going to have to ask the Lord for a great deal of patience, and we're going to realize that we're going to have to put a lot of time and effort and prayer into the salvation of those precious souls. Unless in the early 20s we are dealing with individuals that are in part of a group and we're part of that peer group, the salvation process of that heart opening up to the ministry of the Spirit of God begins to harden and harden and harden. I'm speaking to a man who is 95 years old. He is from Catholicism. We've been speaking with him for many years now. And the man says the same thing to me every time I talk to him. I say, do you think you ought to get this right with God, your life? You're 95. You may not go on for another 50 years. He says, I know that. And then he says, if I could only know where I'm going. Oh, if I could only know. And we open the Word of God. And we, in simplicity and prayer, are making it clear to this man how he might know We read to him 1 John chapter 5, verses 12, 13, and 14. These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you might know you have eternal life. He's memorized one verse of Scripture in his life, and that he quotes constantly. He said, yes, but the Scriptures say, many are called, but few are chosen. He said, you could be one of those chosen few if you believe in the Lord. His heart is closed. His heart is closed. Wow. Now, as we're going to get involved, and as we're going to reach people, and I encourage us to do this, let us remember, the majority of people who trust in Christ as Savior have done so before they're 20 years old. That's the majority. Keep that in mind. There's a key to the future of the Church of God there, that we want to continue in our effort of reaching kids for the Lord. I'm so thrilled, as I know Sunday schools are taking place around America today. And in times when there's a preacher in a pulpit, I'm very thankful there are those that are teaching boys and girls in the classrooms around the churches, wherever they are. It is that ministry that is going to bring forth the harvest. For the most part, we in meetings like this are believers. We know the Lord. We want to be built up. We want to continue to worship Him. We want to rejoice in the truth of God's Word. But there's a key here. Let's evangelize where we know the results are going to take place. Two dimensions in the proclamation of the gospel. The facts in their proper order, making the presentation simple as to be easily understood. We live in a post-biblical age. 75-74% know little of the Scriptures. One out of four has some knowledge of the Scriptures. That's not suggesting that they're believers. That's not even suggesting they could quote a verse of Scripture. We live in a time when we have witnessed in 20 years, maybe 25 years, America going from a professing Christian nation to heathenism. We have seen that. It's here. We know that. What is the gospel? What is the gospel? The passage of Scripture that probably clarifies the gospel more than any others is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 through 5. Paul declares, this is the gospel that I declared unto you. And then he outlines it. He doesn't have the Roman numerals. I did that. But he outlines the gospel. This is the gospel. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Number two, he was buried. Number three, he rose from the dead according to the Scriptures. Now, as that is brought forth to the minds of man, the four points on the bottom are included in this outline. Christ died for our sins, he was buried, and he rose from the dead. In regards to evangelism, may I encourage you on this point. Whenever you're in discussion with anyone that you'd like to see become a Christian, whether you're speaking to someone about creationism, the modern day concept of the church, in regards to recent creationism with scientists, this is what's going to save them. This is what's going to bring life to them. It is behind this that the Spirit of God is working. It is behind this that our God has promised there is power unto salvation. This is God's gospel. This is the gospel that wins men and women and boys and girls to the Lord Jesus Christ. We were involved in a ministry in Clear Lake, Texas, just part of the Houston area where the NASA program is, NASA. In our meeting, we had one of the leading men in regards to space stations in the world, one of the five leading men. We had one of the leading cat crackers, that's the catalytic converters where you convert the oil to everything else. We had a nuclear physicist. These men were sharp. They were scientists. They were involved in research in regards to creation. Now, bear with me as I'm saying this. I think these things are necessary. But in the 12-year period that we were there, we did not see one person from the scientific community added to our meeting, though all of these men were intelligent intellectuals who arguments worked super arguments. But do you know that those who were added to the meeting were added because someone was presenting this fact to them? Christ died for your sins. He was buried and he rose again. That is the message that saves souls. And that's what we want to be concerned about. Well, does it work? Well, we're living proof that that works. We know it works. We know it's that which saves. And yet we spend so much of our time debating and arguing. Is a debate and argument necessary? Well, if the person is over 30, listen to this. Maybe we should pass on to someone else. He said, wait a minute. Wait a minute. God has told us of the hardness of man's heart. God has told us in the book of Acts. And by the way, the key word in the book of Acts, as salvation is abounding, the key word there is those who received the word of God were saved. Those who received the message of the sower in regards to the parables in Matthew 13, going forth and sowing the seed. The seed or the soil that brought forth fruit was that soil that received the word with understanding. Now we know only the Spirit of God can do that, but it's this message that brings forth salvation. An outline presentation telling us something about God, about man, about Christ, and about a response. We do not have to prove God. He is sufficient to prove himself. He has made his witness known in the minds and hearts of individuals. And it has been upon very, very rare occasion in our work of evangelism, as we've worked with individuals, that I've ever met anyone who has, in the course of a discussion, said to me, prove that God exists. Now, I have talked with atheists. I have talked with agnostics. But in serious conversation with individuals concerned about their souls, God has made himself known. Our responsibility to speak of him as a God of holiness and of righteousness and of love. Ellen, you want to go to the next page? Well, we see that there's a word God up on the wood there. You see that way up there? We don't get it all here. This is just the basic outline. Person must know something about God, but God has revealed himself to man. Romans chapter 1, verses 19 through 20 states this to us. God has made himself known. He has a witness in the mind and heart of men. And the Holy Spirit makes God known. We read about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, last two verses, and first three verses of chapter 3. We learn that the Spirit of God gives light, illumination. The Spirit of God is able to quicken. And we learn that God is love, righteous, and holy. And these things, man, he learns about and he knows. Then, we have to know something about man. And we learn that all have sinned. It's not a very popular theme today. This is truly the day that we read about in the Scriptures, when it says, that which is bad is called good, and that which is good is called bad. What a day we live in. What a time we live in. Man is no longer responsible for his actions. The concept of sin and human responsibility has been removed from us, and we can do anything we want. And we can justify it.
by this or that problem. My mother and dad, all they ever fed me was oatmeal. Therefore, I have grown up disliking everything and everybody, and it's their fault. Wow, I don't want to get carried away on this theme today. But the Bible tells us all are sinners. And if there's a message that is going to bring salvation, that message has to be man is a sinner. He has offended God. He's under the wrath of God. And in order for man to be with God, his sin must be removed. And that was done by Christ. We read a little bit about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And then there must be a response. And that response is, man must believe. Man must believe. And so, again, in evangelism, if we're going to attempt to win people to the Lord, we must present the gospel clearly. Christ died for our sins. He was buried, and he rose again. And that a response must take place. They must believe. They must open their heart and their life to the Lord Jesus. Acknowledge that they are sinners, believing he died for them, receiving him as their substitute. After Ken Seton became a Christian, we were in a college class together. He wanted to come over to our house. I was having a debate with the professor in regards to Christianity. He came over to our house. He got saved. He was thrilled. He was excited about the things of God. He went back to his Sunday school at the Lutheran church that he was attending, and he brought this same message to the Sunday school teacher. And he said, why don't you tell us about this? The Sunday school teacher was angry. He was turning red. My, he was angry. And he said to Ken, Ken, make an appointment. I'm going to see that guy Thrall, and I'm going to straighten him out. He said, bring him over. And Joel Schultz came over. Some of you remember him. Joel came over to the house. He walked in, and he paced back and forth. And he said, what is this stuff you're teaching, Ken? He said, it's right out of the Bible. He said, I know how God accepts us. I know what I have done to please God. And he goes on and saying, I. He was just going on and on. He said, let's look at the Word. He said, all right, let's look at it. And we read some books from the book of Galatians having to do with the death of Christ, how that our salvation is resting upon faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I presented to him the gospel, and he wanted to debate. He wanted to debate about good works. He wanted to debate about education. I'd have nothing to do with it. I said, Joe, here's the message. Here's the message. And we told him, read the scriptures together. Christ died for your sins. Your salvation is resting upon faith in Christ and not your own goodness. Not by your work. All of a sudden, this man who was red, he just stopped. He said, I can't believe it. I missed this all of my life. He said, oh, it's so simple. And before I could say a word, he said, oh, God, forgive me. I know I've sinned against you. I realize Christ has died for me. I know that I'm going to be saved by believing in him, and I believe in him right now, and I trust in him. It's the message. It's the message that works. Oh, we could go on and on. On and on. Leona, the lady that came out of the taverns and beat me on the head with her purse. Leona, who despised the gospel, who despised Al Leach and myself for going down there, came out one night and said, I want to be saved. I want to be saved. I realized Christ died for me. I realize he shed his blood to cleanse me from my sin. That the Lord who died lives. And she became a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's this message that is the message that penetrates hearts. My, there's so much more. Ellen, skip one and go to the next one, I think. My time is going. No, go to the next one. One more. I want to just briefly give you an illustration from the scriptures of the Lord dealing with an individual. It's the conversation, the meeting that the Lord has with the woman at the well in John chapter 4. And I've listed some things there and then some points of suggestion. The Lord's method, purposeful. He must needs go to Samaria because he's going to meet this woman. And he's going to deal with her and bring her to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Purposeful. And sometimes we have to plan. Sometimes we have to be diligent in how we're going to reach somebody, where we're going to reach them, if we can reach them with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, not everyone that we attempt to reach is going to trust in the Lord. We know that. We know that. I would like to see everyone that I talk to become a Christian. That's not the case. I was in Tucson, Arizona, visiting with my father. He was doing work in a large hotel. I heard that Paul Newman was in the hotel. I said, I'm going to talk to him. I'm going to talk to him. He was making a movie, a Western. I knew where he was at a certain time, and I made sure I was going to be on the elevator with him. When he got on the elevator, so did I. And I began to talk to him, ask him if he was aware of some of the Bible studies Roy Rogers had. And he said, yes. And he said, I never go to those. He said, I always think of them as being weird people crying out here and there, rolling on their stomachs. And I said, no, that's not like that. Then I explained to him the gospel. And he said, you know, I'm of a different faith than you are. So I'm aware of that. But the gospel message is the same. He said something to the effect, how simple it is for you who are not Jewish just to believe that message. He said, but for me it's hard. He said, but I will do one thing for you. I promise you that the next time I'm invited to one of Roy Rogers' Bible studies, I will go. Well, I was thrilled. Whether he went or not, I don't know. But that was kind of a planned event. It doesn't always happen that way. It's personal contact, one-on-one. Then it's pointed over here. The Lord went out of his way to reach her. He talked to her alone. He wasn't afraid to talk to her as a down and outer. And he opened her up for the natural conversation. He arose her curiosity, brought forth the conviction of sin, would not compromise. The word's wrong there, but when ready, he made the truth known to her, and she responded. The response was, she spoke, many believed. He spoke, many believed. And it was very clearly brought out that in regards to Christ, he's the Savior of the world in that passage of Scripture. There's much more that can be said, but bear with me just for a few moments. I can stand here and I can give you outline after outline, thought after thought about evangelism. I'd like to see you all become involved in that if you're not right now. But if you do, do not be discouraged if you do not see results. Do not be discouraged if you do not see results. In the evangelical church today, the equation we make is in regards to spirituality is how many people an individual has led to the Lord. That's not right. That's not proper. Let me tell you why. In regards to true evangelism, God has given gift. Now, does this set aside everything I've said? No, it doesn't. We are responsible to plant the seed of God's word. But not everyone is a gifted evangelist. Therefore, even though very diligent, there are those who, as they speak to people, the response just doesn't come. But we're still to be faithful. We're still to be diligent into sowing the seed of God's word so that when the evangelist does come, the harvest will take place. Now, I must say that because I'm well aware of the fact that there are many God's children who are saying, "What's wrong with me?" There may be nothing wrong with you, but God may not have given you that gift of evangelism. I'm speaking about a gift, not an ability. I make a distinction here. Many have ability. Many have talent. But the true evangelist is the one who has the gift of God. And the result is souls are saved. All there is to it. Souls are saved. But I do want to encourage us. I would like to have a couple more hours, but we don't have that, to continue on and to encourage, maybe on another occasion. But may God encourage each one of us. And just a closing remark, the young man that got up and read the scripture this morning, I don't know your name, but I imagine you can really sing. And if you haven't been singing, you should. I think you have a talent, whether you know it or not. I'd like to hear you sing a solo the next time I come. My, my. To all the young people here, teenagers and adults, you want your life to become alive. You want your life to become exciting. Get involved in this work of evangelism. Let's pray for them. Thank God for this chapel, for all the saints here who are involved in the work of evangelism. By praying, by sharing with those that are the ones God has sent forth. You're all involved. We're all involved. Thank God. Thank God. Shall we close in a word of I'll pray and then we'll have a song, okay? At least a verse of a song. Father, we do thank you that we can rest so solidly in what your Son has accomplished for us at Calvary, that we can have such peace and security knowing that someday we're going to be with the blessed Lord. And at that time, sin will be gone forever and we'll be able to worship and praise him throughout eternity. We pray in the meantime that you might encourage us to share with others this good news, that you love men, that you love people, that the Lord Jesus died to save, that he bore our sins. Oh God, we're so thankful. We thank you that our Lord is alive and that we can walk and talk with the living Lord Jesus Christ. Bless, we pray. Encourage, speak to hearts. And if perchance there is one here this morning who has never trusted in the Lord Jesus as their Savior, may they have seen on the screen, heard with the ears, the truth that God loves them, Christ died for them, that they might trust in him, believe in him, and become a child of God. Be with us as we go to our homes. Bless as we sing this closing song. For we pray in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.